This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable 6-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
All right, here we go on a Wednesday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Text line wide open on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. Josh Vernier going to join us a little bit later on, his weekly visit with us coming up at 12:30. Certainly quite a bit to address with our Royals insider. Video stream also up and running. Hope everybody's having a good start to their Wednesday. Finally, it is not like cloudy and looking like it's going to rain constantly. So thank you for that. It actually feels like it is May 28th outside.
Can't get to a pool yet. They've all been like open late or closed.
You can this weekend.
Water's going to be too cold.
It's going to be 84, 85 degrees on one of the days. So,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'm interested in that.
I'm just happy that it's nice outside. That's all. I'm happy it's nice outside. Puts you in a better mood. Hope everybody's having, as I said, a good start to their week. For some of you, this might be your first day back this week.
What? Oh, I guess like taking the extra holiday day. Mm-hmm. I guess that's possible.
Some people did that, man.
I thought about it when I was sitting mostly when I was sitting there waiting for.
Wow, how's your son? Yeah, is your son everything good?
He's gonna go back to school today. Seems like he's all right. We'll get a follow up appointment later, but yeah, it was. I think he liked the hospital too much.
Oh,
always a concern is that like you should have a healthy amount of not wanting to go there.
Look, if you see him searching on his tablet WebMD and reading stuff, then we've got a real problem. Then you got a real problem if he's just doing WebMD searches, Cody, already.
Yeah, he starts getting into that. You know, that's a danger. That's a slippery slope.
I know.
Oh, WebMD, you got like a minor cough.
You go on there and you would think everybody's about to die. Like,
oh, yeah. Especially you. You're definitely about to die.
Yeah, you look.
That's why everybody on the text line constantly suggests I have gout. All right, foot pain. I don't know how many times someone on the text line obviously hopped on WebMD and they're down to gout and plantar fasciitis. I'm like, I've been to the doctor.
Yeah, I'll take the blame for people think you have gout. I believe the first time you introduced the foot pain many years ago, I suggested you had gout, and so that I'll take blame for that.
It was unclear if that was.
I still think you might. Yeah,
can't rule out gout.
I was listening to somebody on. Obviously, you guys know on the weekends we air like national radio, like Fox Sports Radio is here on 96.5 The Fan, and I can't remember. Maybe I want to say it was LeVar Arrington. I could be wrong. There's a show with LeVar Arrington. I think Brady Quinn, Plexico Burst. Anyway, those guys are on the network. I can't remember what
that's
show it was.
Pros and a cup of Joe, I think
that
is what it's
maybe that's what that it is. That is a combo. Maybe.
Yeah, so okay. It's some combination of that. Anyway, long story short, the reason why I bring it up is only because I was in my car on, I don't know, maybe it was Sunday or Monday, and I was driving around and I caught one of them saying that they drank beer the night before, and that's a trigger for gout, for at least for them. And so they woke up in the middle of the night, woke up, and their big toe was complete. Like they couldn't move their big toe, and it was like just stepping on it was like he said he fell to the ground. And then he said he has a pill he takes and then everything's good. But it was his big toe. So it could be weight. So that you don't, if you start having that, then you definitely have
gout. Yeah,
you
know? I don't have any of the other symptoms of gout. My foot doesn't. Yeah, I don't like, get pain in just a toe. And also a doctor, a foot doctor diagnosed me with something. So I don't know like why I would be still searching for something else. Other than, you know, like the one time a doctor told me that my bone was bent, only to have another doctor be like, bones don't bend, they break. But that guy was, you know, just some hippie doctor in Colorado. I think he was more like,
are you sure you went to a doctor?
It was like an emergency room. I broke my arm. Mm-hmm. He put me in like the rookie of the year thing, man. I had like something connected. I had like a sling connected to my wrist. It was a whole, you know exactly what I'm talking about the second I start describing
for
it.
For sure. All right. Well, that's, I'm glad everything is better on the health front, like, for your son and stuff like that. All right, let's talk some Royals baseball. We all know they dropped one again last night to the Cincinnati Reds, and a very similar story. Offense missed opportunities yet again.
Yeah, sure. Runners in scoring position, some of the same stuff.
I typically, and I think you do for the most part too, I typically subscribe to whether we're talking football, baseball, any sport, when especially it involves professional athletes and anybody struggling, that I tend to say, look, it's on the players to perform. Like, ultimately, they have to perform. I think when you have now 2+ months of a sample, though, we're about to turn the calendar to June in this baseball season, and there are not just one or two guys struggling at the plate, but I could argue right this second, just about everybody, but maybe Vinny, presently. You got to start also looking at the coaching end of it, and you have to look at the development end of it. And I'm talking about hitting development organizationally in Alex Zumwalt and guys. And look, he gets credit, I think, for Mikel having a much better season, if we're being fair. I think if we're going to knock some of the other guys that are not having good years, I think he should get some credit for what Mikel's been able to do. But like Bobby Wood Jr., even so far, the power numbers are down this year. We all know Michael Massey hasn't developed and improved. He's having a worse season right now, although I actually think the last 7 games, his average is up a little bit. And I'm just wondering, when do we start talking about, and I think today is that day, frankly, start talking about, hey, how concerned are you organizationally with hitting development? Because we're all praising the pitching. I think they have figured that out. They have unlocked in their organization that now I feel legitimately that they can develop starting pitching. I think that is a real thing.
It's really hard to argue the other side of that right now, right? Based on the recent success.
There's so many examples now over the last 3+ years. Some of them are big league acquisitions, right? What they've unlocked with Cole Reagans, obviously what Chris Bubich is doing this year. You know, and Brian Sweeney deserves a ton of credit. He might have 3 guys in the last year that end up in the top 3 of Cy Young, or top 4 in Cy Young. We know Lugo in Reagans last year. There's a chance Chris Bubich finishes top 3 in Cy Young this year. So I'm good on the pitching end. I think I feel very good about their development and now the trust that they can do on the pitching side. Complete opposite on the hitting side.
So I'll just say, and this is normally how it works, I'm surprised it hasn't hit the coaching staff yet. Because normally in situations like this, when you're bottom 3 in runs scored, when you're dead last in home runs hit, which we can get to, that's been easily one of the most concerning signs amongst the development of the hitters or the continued development of any hitter outside of that, is that normally it's like there's an accountability part when it comes to sports. More than any other job, probably, there's an accountability part. So far, they've taken all the accountability on the player side. They've demoted MJ Melendez. They've cut Hunter Renfroe. They've made the kind of things where it's like, we're putting this on the players. Mm-hmm. They've got to perform. We're doing this. Zumwalt's the next guy who's going to catch heat on this. He just is. Because to your point, the guys higher up are going to be able to hang their hat. Like JJ, right? They're going to be able to hang their hat on like, well, the team's still got a winning record. The pitching staff is doing great. You know, and it's not like guys like Vinny or Bobby aren't still performing. They are. But there is a part of the hitting right now that, like, I can't explain why you are so much worse than just a year ago with very similar talent, specifically in the power department. Is there some reason why they pull the ball and they put it in the air, but the ball never goes over the fence anymore? Kaufman be damned. They played at Kaufman last year. They got no power.
Yeah, and that's why I wonder developmentally, and it's not just at the big league level. I know we're right now we're talking about the struggles of the big league level, but think about some of the names that have gone through, like, MJ Melendez, Gavin Cross, you know, like keep going through there. There's how many examples can you give me? Like
it's been coming up pretty bad lately. There's a couple guys that are successes, right? Vinny and Bobby and Mikel recently.
Yeah. And I'm not saying there's zero bit of it for Bobby, but like also the same thing I would argue with Jack Caglione right now. Like to a certain extent, there's some player like nobody was ever going to screw up Shohei Ohtani. You know what I mean? And I don't think anybody's going to screw up Bobby Witt Jr. So you know, yes, I guess if you want to hang your hat on, like okay, he gets the credit for Bobby Witt Jr. I guess. I would be wondering about
it's probably
the organizational
less credit, but you
development.
Get some credit still, I think. You know, like I hate to just eliminate that because like I felt like this is an argument I got into in the very early Alex Smith days. They'd be like, Alex Smith doesn't make anyone better. And I'm like, well, Travis Kelce started having careers when Alex Smith showed up. He's like, he was already great. And you're like, yeah,
well,
but
that's a player. I'm talking about coaching.
No,
right now.
I know. Yeah. And so like, I don't want to like take away all credit, but like Bobby Witt Jr. So he leads the league in doubles and I think he's like one or two off the pace now, was at one point leading the league in stolen bases. So it's not that there's no power for Bobby Witt Jr. He leads the league in doubles, but he's only on pace for 15 home runs. And I'm like, wait, what? He hit 32 last year, 30 the year before that. Hell, he had 20 his rookie year. Like, he was the guy that I expected to turn into a 40 home run guy. And he seems to be going the other direction, yeah. I guess, is what's concerning to me. Like, at some point, I don't know if it was a focus this offseason. I don't know if it was just like part of the training regimen. And they thought, hey, we were so good with runners in scoring position. We got him a team who puts the ball in play, moves runners, score runs that way. Because that's what I'd be curious about. Because at this point, it's like, I don't feel like we should be dipping at the rate we're dipping at for the star players. And I don't want Cags to come up and all of a sudden he's a 25 home run hitter.
Right.
I want Cags to come up and be a 35, 40, 45 home run hitter.
No,
you know?
Absolutely. And that's the concern is like, what is going on? What, you know, some of it I do think right this present day is you got a couple guys that are trying to hit home runs too. I think that's you're getting in a little bit of that. And that's
the tryhards are always, you know, tough because the pressure's real.
As I said, I usually first step, I always say, hey, like the player's got to perform. They're getting paid the money to perform.
Yeah.
Got to go out there and do that. But I think when it's dragged on now and we're about to turn to June, and some of these guys have also, you mentioned Bobby in terms of the power numbers, what has happened there? Like then that's when I start wondering about the development and in the coaching and what is going on? What's the message? What happened in the offseason? What's the continued message? Like they have made micro moves from a player perspective. At some point, if the offense trend continues to trend in this direction, we all know the next step.
Fired the hitting coach. Anybody remember when George Brett came in and
that was before 14, wasn't
his,
it? Or was that
his,
early in 14?
I thought it was like 14.
It was definitely not 15. I know it definitely wasn't 15. I thought it was either 13 or early 14.
When they brought in Brett for a little bit. Oh, I apologize. It was 13. George Brett served as the interim hitting coach for the Royals in 2013.
For less than a month.
For
2 months, sorry.
Or 2 months, yeah. I couldn't remember because like, and here's the truth, and this is like a really tough thing, and I would say this to any of the players that I know play for the team too, which is when the Royals are two games above 500, and I hope that they never dip below 500 this year, but now they are flirting with it again for the first time in
and they got a hell of
weeks.
A pitcher to go up against tonight.
Yeah, Hunter Green's pretty good. And so when I like that we're upset more and that we care more because the team is good. It's good to have heightened expectations that come with more like, what the hell? Because under normal circumstances, losing 6 of 10 would not bother you as much as a Royals fan when the team doesn't matter. But with those heightened expectations come more accountability. Like, that's just the reality of it. In 2013, the reason why they fired their hitting coach wasn't just because they were struggling at the plate. It's because they were at the part of the timeline that they're like, no, we're supposed to be competing now. And if we're expected to compete now, we expect real changes. The reason why they didn't get rid of Cal Eldred for a number of years in this town is because the team stunk. There were no accountability. They'd give Cal time to figure it all out. And it's like, but if Cal was here now in the middle of when expectations actually hit the team, they were a lot quicker to move on from Cal Eldred, right? And so like, that's where Zumwalt's going to have to like find his balance. I very rarely in this industry, and I wouldn't do it in this case either, call for the like someone's head. It's a difficult position to be put in, and very rarely do I think it's just one person's problem that is causing this. But he is now officially in the crosshairs. He's in the crosshair for Royals fans. He's in the crosshairs for this. And, like, unless the hitting is going to start, you know, like, no, well, but we're warming up June 1st. He's part of the solution.
Yeah, for a while. All the major focus, of course, is the players, as I said. But if you're struggling as an organization and as a lineup across the board just about to hit, it has to also be everybody's also got to be part of the solution. And unfortunately, everybody's kind of part of the problem. And so it is going to be something to watch, I think, over the next couple of weeks and the next month from that perspective as well, and how they ultimately handle that. And just kind of be interesting to see where the conversations go on that. I mean, I think the current discussion about the big league roster is one thing. I'm also more just concerned, like, organizationally with guys developing through. And I understand what Jack Caglione is doing. He was the number 10 prospect in all of baseball, right?
You're saying sometimes people can fight through the system even if the system isn't working. Which, to your point, I mean, the Royals were a bad pitching development system forever, and Zach Greinke still managed to find way through.
And again, on the flip side, on the flip side, I think we have recognized how on the pitching side, completely different feeling, right? Feel great about what Brian Sweeney has been done. They got to make sure that they don't lose him. What they've been able to do in the minor league level with pitching now, and I'm not just talking about Noah Cameron, but you have faith that those guys are going to have a real chance and are getting the correct development and coaching on the way up, and there's now results we're seeing at the big league level. And I'm just saying at the big league level on the hitting end, I feel almost the complete opposite right now.
It's hard to feel confident right now based on where they rank amongst all offensive stats, right? I mean, it just is. And yesterday, and like, I guess what's more frustrating about it for is that it's not that I don't see some signs of, like, where it could work, right? Vinny's been hitting really well. To your point, Michael Massey's had a good week, right? He's been better the last 2 weeks, but he's had a really good week. So, okay, maybe he can turn that into something. Bobby's in a bit of a slump. Baseball players go through slumps. I'm not going to lose my mind because Bobby would, Bobby's in a little bit of a slump. And you see them have runners on base, have a chance to score some hypothetical runs, give themselves an opportunity, and it just seems like they all season, it feels like I've just been waiting for them to have the 2 week stretch where here come the runs, but they are dead last in home runs, and I do not think they are dead last in power in the league. Bobby possesses real power,
32 homers
last
year. Salvi
possesses real power, Vinny possesses real power. I mean, they've got guys, like, I don't need, you know, like, outside of that, it's probably limited, right? Especially because Massey's been off to a really tough start to the year. So, like, outside of that, there's a limitation, especially because they went with the let's get on base guys, the Drew Waters, the Nick Loftons, the John, the guys they've called up recently are more about, like, they're going to be singles and doubles guys. They have seeded power for guys like MJ because it wasn't working out. That's also why this goes back to the trade thing. Eventually, they're going to have to, like, look for other bats, and that's part of it.
We'll talk about this with Josh Fernier a little bit later on as well, get his perspective on what he's kind of seeing there, and if he agrees with us on this or not. That's coming up at 12:30 as he joins us each and every Wednesday. But let's go across the parking lot a little bit to the Chiefs. And yes, OTAs are going on. It's officially started. I think tomorrow we might hear from Andy
Reid. Who's
Reed
all reported?
Patrick Mahomes.
I demand answers for who isn't there. Drew, are you keeping a tally for Chiefs fans for us?
Yeah, Drew's actually
got it. Hasn't reported.
Drew's got a camera set up there in the parking lot. He is tracking it right now.
I saw Mahomes walk up the other day in a nice little fit. It was pretty sweet with the haircut too, you know?
He does look like a different, grown up, you know? Growing up with the new too. He lost that suit. He said he was going to cut the hair whether he won or lost the Super Bowl.
Sure.
He went with the grown-up cut. I think and I want to make this clear because otherwise this is going to come off as, like, somehow I don't think Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback on the planet. I do, for a fact, think Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback on the planet.
Okay.
I think this is a big swing year in the court of public opinion on Patrick Mahomes being the best quarterback on the planet. And the reason why is because he is coming off of two, I would call, statistical seasons. I'm not here to tell you they were bad or, like, he was the worst quarterback in the league, but where I got to deal with graphics of he put up the same numbers as Bo Nix. And I'm like, I can't have a serious conversation with you if we're just going to compare statistical years between a quarterback who we all agree is average, like Aaron Rodgers last year, and what Patrick Mahomes is, a guy who went to another Super Bowl. But the truth is, he is in back-to-back years of statistical average play, but he's still getting to the Super Bowl, so you forgive all of that. And he's won one of those two Super Bowls, so you forget about the end of the year. If he has his third statistical year, if you think that there isn't noise now, wait. Because, Gold, if he has, in year nine, a third straight mediocre statistical season, people are going to be starting to call for the changing of the public guard of, and they'll entertain those conversations even more than we're used to. That's all.
You are talking about random people on social media. You're talking about awards. You're talking about
I think people will begin to fear the plateau, and that Mahomes has hit the peak level of he's ever hit, and that now what he is a 28 touchdown, 11 interception, sub 4,000 yard guy.
Okay.
Because 3 years ago, he threw for the most passing touchdowns in the league and for 5,000 yards. So nobody was complete. But 2 years in a row now, he's been pretty average.
Yeah.
Statistically.
I think more than anything, as a team, this year is about showing people that they're not done yet. And I guess
That might be
with
true.
That is
the plateauing part.
Mahomes is, of course, a huge, huge part of that. But I think, for them, what happened in the Super Bowl, getting embarrassed there against the Philadelphia Eagles, and therefore by the connection, of course, is, well, then Patrick Mahomes got embarrassed as well. And so with that, I would agree with you if you're saying, hey, the narrative is like, oh my God, they're just not the same team anymore. Here we go. They have an opportunity and I guess pressure, if you will, to prove people wrong very early on in the season.
Yep.
Because if they end up falling off and they're, I don't know where we're setting the bar. Like for them, it's always the AFC title game at minimum, basically. But
that would be a weird year because they've been to three straight Super Bowls. That would be a fall off year for them, right? We agree. Losing in the AFC championship game, is it? I mean, anything before that's the worst year Patrick Mahomes has had as a professional. Then, people, if he has another 27 touchdowns, 12 picks, 3,900 yards, Golden, he loses in the divisional round, well, then people will absolutely be calling it the end of his dominance era. And that's what I view it as, I guess, is that's how, and I will not be that quick on it. I'll just be honest. I think he's the best quarterback in the league. So it will take more than that for me to be calling it that. But I just think that like 90% of society will be aiming for that marker and they'll be like, well, that dynasty runs over, that runs over. It's going to take them a couple of years and by then they'll be 32. And so, well, I guess the Patrick Mahomes era of the NFL is complete. And I think that may be what it is. This year is about putting back in the league. I'm him. I'm the dude.
I think
the rest of you, we're the team. I'm the guy, and the rest of you are going to pay for even thinking it for a second.
Yeah, I think it's a team, but obviously that and it's headlined by Patrick Mahomes. But it's a reminder that hey, we are still one of the best. And look, I think they have the third or fourth best odds right now to win the Super Bowl. So it's not like the odds makers have them way off the pace. But the Ravens and the Bills have a better chance to come out of the AFC or at least win the Super Bowl, I believe, right now, based off of FanDuel odds. I have to check. It's been a couple weeks since I popped on there. But I think that's what it was at. And so that's what they are, quote unquote, up against in terms of the perception that it's not their time anymore. And yeah, I think after you had a 50 touchdown, 5,000 yard season, the bar was always going to be ridiculous for you. Like, hey, you're entertain me. But it goes back to the offense.
He's
though,
had two
as
5,000 yard seasons, one with 41 touchdowns, one with 50.
It goes back to the offense as a whole and what we've discussed, which is that next step again, getting back to where they were, you know, instead of being that 12th to 15th rated offense in football points per game, getting back to being a top 5-7 offense in football, having the explosive plays, all of that. It sounds weird the way people view a lot of this is because of betting. It's because of fantasy football as well. Like go back to putting up the gaudy numbers and the 60 yard touchdowns. That's part of the equation too. And people are bored, I think, you know, with someone they have seen for a while. It's just by nature of how we operate as sports fans, as crazy as that sounds, even though I could still pinpoint multiple plays last year where you're still like, how the hell did he pull that off?
I wonder if it's to the point that you're making, Gold, the offense and the way that it looks, where if this year, even Cody, even if they make it to the AFC Championship, even if they make it to the Super Bowl, but if the offense is fully healthy and Mahomes has another year like he did last year, then everybody's going to say he was carried by the defense.
Yeah.
And it's still, even if they make it to the Super Bowl or make it to the AFC title, and he still has these numbers when Rasheed's healthy, Xavier's healthy, you know, Holly, if everybody stays healthy and the offense is the way that it is and the numbers still look similar, then I think people are even going to have that conversation regardless of how well the Chiefs actually do. They're just going to flip it to he was carried by the defense and how good they were if the defense puts up similar numbers to they have previously.
What's crazy about that, though, is the last 2 years he's throwing to no one. No one. I think that that is an important thing to point out as it relates to the peak level offenses around the league or whatever else. 2 years ago, it just didn't have anybody. Their leading wide receiver going in the year ended up being Rashee Rice. But going into the year was Kadarius Toney. Or I don't know, Sky Moore, I guess.
I think it would have been Sky because Toney was quiet. If I got my years right, he was mid-season, right? Or am I off on the year we're talking about?
I think that was the year before he was mid-season.
Okay. But so Sky Moore at that point was still viewed as a potential like number two, number mm-hmm. three receiver. I know it sounds mm-hmm. weird now, but at the time.
Well, yeah, in retrospect, it's like, well, that was idiotic.
Yeah.
But that was the case kind of going into the year.
Going into the and Lions
then,
opener.
And year. Then again, last year, because he lost Rashee Rice and Hollywood Brown, once again, his number one wide receiver ended up having to be a rookie. Like, that wasn't the plan. The plan was never the rookie, even if he was a first-round pick, to be the leading wide receiver. And then it's just been a hodgepodge of Tony's or Justin Watson's or
Juju
Smith, you know, like Juju mm-hmm. Smith exploding knees, whatever, right? Outside of there. Isn't that what he said, exploding knees?
No, that was not what he said.
That was Albert Breer,
when he went to New England, said his knees were going to explode. Since then, he's played two more football seasons, and last year he had a 100-something-plus game against the Saints or whatever, and he's on the roster again this year.
Yeah, he is. But, like, it's been a cavalcade of, like, Jags, right?
Yeah, sure.
Can we just be honest? Jags. No, not the world's worst wide receiver group, but certainly nothing to like be excited about.
Yeah, and someone I do think in terms of the gaudy numbers that are out there, we have to factor in where the defense was at the time, the feeling that you had to be in shootouts. And someone brought up, hey, our defense was bad in some of those crazy offensive years because the thought was you had to be ultra aggressive. And I know fans don't want to hear that because you always want to be super aggressive and we all like the big plays and everything. But I think there is some truth to that. While the stat last year was all about winning close game after close game after close game, and they did just that on their way to 15-2 record in the regular season. But I do think if the defense is going to be top five, top 10 again, they are going to play in a certain fashion offensively that doesn't, I guess, risk that. They're trying to eliminate some of the risk involved there. I know it sounds crazy because you're like, why wouldn't you have foot on the gas the entire time? But I do think there's a different feeling. If you don't have any trust that a Spagnuolo defense, you know, 4 years ago could get a stop, you felt like offensively, well, we have to be really, really aggressive. Now you have confidence your defense is holding teams to 20, I don't know what it was last year, Cody, but 22, 21 points a game.
It was
I don't
19
know.
And a half.
Okay, sure. Right? You know, versus 24 points a game, that's a different story.
Well, I was looking at it. That goes back to what Cody was saying, because Cody, you last year more than anybody else, I think, you were harping on Andy Reid, like, would you please be more aggressive? Like, you
still want
that was constantly the point.
But they had a defense that was only giving up 19 points.
That doesn't mean that any coach willing to.
I'm not saying
that
you should. I'm not saying they shouldn't do it. I'm just saying if we're trying to figure out also besides personnel, what the difference is.
Andy will do anything to win a game.
Aren't you playing with fire though? Because
they were 15-1.
No. But I know that it didn't happen last year. Let's say they're in a similar instance. We saw this a few years ago with the Vikings when they didn't make it to the Super Bowl, but the Vikings won every close game they had, lost in the NFC title game or whatever it was, and then the next year they were in close games and they were not nearly
as
good.
The quarterback was Kirk Cousins, not Patrick Mahomes. Their coach was Andy Reid. They're willing to take that risk. I
understand
get your point, but it's never burned them.
But if it does burn them, then it hasn't yet, which is why we're having this conversation.
Yeah,
but if
sure.
it burns them where Andy's not being aggressive, and there is the one instance where Mahomes makes a mistake and turns it over, there's a fumble, or the defense lets up a big play and they lose the game because of lack of aggressiveness, then everything that we've said previously about them needing to just play as if they're down or just play like you have the best quarterback in the league is kind of would come to fruition in that point.
Yeah, it just depends. Is it one game and then or is it a season long thing? You know what I mean? Because if they win 13 games this year, then I don't think point proven.
No, yeah, exactly. You know,
if it costs them, as in they lose a division and they win 10 games, then we're having a completely different conversation. They win 13 games and we're like, wow,
still
they
the still, two seed and win their division.
Then no, I don't think anything's changed.
Yeah, I agree.
There has to be like a real consequence, I guess, to it to flat out be like, oh my gosh, it is preventing them from accomplishing what they want to accomplish. We all know, like, ultimately they got to the Super Bowl, they had nothing going. But I don't know if you can, when you win 15 games and you lose in the Super Bowl, even if it's in an embarrassing fashion, if you can say like that the overall like schematics were completely off the entire year. Like, we can all pinpoint left tackle was a problem in the Super Bowl. They made no adjustments, all these kinds of things. Mm-hmm. They didn't have skill players. That's all true. We've all brought these things up. But in terms of how they handle the aggressive versus conservative meter, if you will, in this hypothetical, I don't know if you can really actually say it didn't work. They won 15 games.
Yeah, I mean, it worked last year. It's just the one time that it burns them, it could be in a really bad spot.
Yeah, and that'll be something to watch, no doubt, throughout the entire season. All right, coming up next, though, let's transition to the NBA a little bit. Just something that's happening for the first time in 50 years. Could it happen in the NFL this year? And what Kansas State was able to do yet again. That's coming up right here on Code.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
Hey, everyone. Summer is just around the corner, and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high-quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Back here on Cody and Gold, coming up in about 8 minutes, we will get to what's going on in Manhattan, Kansas, and in particular, what Jerome Tang was able to do yet again. But what does that mean for this upcoming season for them? So that's coming up in just a bit. You guys can always interact with us on the Jays Southland Tow Service. Text line 913-586-7965. So looks like we're going to have The Eastern Conference and Western Conference finals in the NBA wrap up here very soon. Tonight, Western Conference final could be done if the Thunder take care of business against the T-Wolves. Last night,
which they've had no real particular issue other than one random blowout.
Yeah, one game. They've been, I mean, they look like the best team that's still around, no doubt, the Thunder do. And they also look like the one franchise that has staying power in terms of, like, would it shock you if the Thunder were back in the same spot for the next couple of years? They have that kind of roster loaded with draft picks still to go and maybe make an all-in type of move again.
Did you see that tweet that said he turned this entire roster from one single bet? Sam Presti turned this all from like one. God, I can't remember the player now. It was, anybody else see that? True.
I don't remember the origin, but they were obviously over time. They've been willing to trade guys like Paul George and Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, they found a way. They traded Sabonis for Tyrese Haliburton.
Yeah,
but it goes even further back than that. And it was like the Haliburton. It doesn't matter. It's not important.
No, but you're right. I mean, like, so point being, real quick, I was just making a comment in passing, which is, hey, out of all the teams remaining, I think the Thunder have a chance to be in this exact same spot for the next couple of years. But anyway, and then on the Eastern side, as we said, the Knicks lost last night. It seemed like everybody agreed if the Knicks would have found a way to win that one and it was 2-2 going back to the Garden, then it would have been all pressure on the Pacers. Instead, the Pacers get it done. Goes back to the Garden. Knicks are obviously down 3-1, and they're 3-5 at the Garden this postseason. So it looks like these could be over. But either way, the NBA is going to crown a new champion for the first time in 50-plus years.
Yeah. And I guess I was thinking about that as it relates to a conversation we were having the other day on college football. Where is the NBA, NFL? Like, where are we officially on the competitiveness and the competitive balance between these leagues? The NBA crowning a new champion for the first time in, it was at minimum 50 years when we got down to the four teams, likely a brand new champion out of there as we look through the different stuff. And like, the NFL has largely lauded itself. I'm not saying this is marketing. I don't want to get into that Carrington argument. It's the, I don't remember what he said, with better marketing.
Yes.
That's to go with it. But like, where are we amongst this league as far as competitive? Because for a while, I'll be honest, the NBA was not the most competitively balanced league because the way the NBA money flowed to the top in this soft cap era was it was largely just the big markets. But new champion for the first time, likely ever, or at the very least 50 years we mentioned. It was the Mavericks the year before that. Nuggets, that's three in a row that are different. Warriors, four in a row that's different. Warriors, four in a row. Or Celtics last year. Sorry, not Mavericks. They beat the Mavericks.
Yes.
So Celtics, Nuggets, Warriors, Bucks. Notice I have not mentioned a repeat champion.
Raptors,
Lakers,
maybe, I believe,
Raptors.
Maybe.
Then I got to go to the Warriors when they had their 3 out of 4 run with the Cavs and the Spurs and the Heat. That's a lot of different champions I'm throwing out to you. Like, at this point, I think you could make an argument that the NBA might be the second most balanced of the four majors.
It's because player movement is way more
behind the NFL, you're saying?
Yeah, no, behind Major League Baseball. Like, the NFL, what's the balance? Okay. The same champion wins every year.
Yeah.
Like, 15 of the last 20 champions have won by Patrick Mahomes or Tom Brady, probably.
Yeah,
without even looking.
A couple things. One, the quarterback is the most important position in all sports, period. Point blank. And so and we just mentioned Brady and Mahomes, and that obviously is strong evidence for that being the case. I would say in the NBA, it goes back to the player empowerment and the ability to call your shot more than any other league. And
you can just go pick the team you have the best chance to win.
In the NFL, there's always a disgruntled player every offseason. Somebody wants to get paid. Somebody acts like they're going to get, they want to force their way out. But like, in reality, we don't see that with the best quarterback, the most important position in sports. We, in the NBA, LeBron can force a trade. Giannis is about to, it looks like, this offseason. We've seen Kyrie doing a handful of times. We all know the name. It happens every year. And it is sometimes the top three, top five player in all of the league doing that. You don't have that in the NFL. So I think that is also contributed. And I recognize the Thunder right now, they don't have a player that has forced their way out and joined. They have homegrown team
They've
right
made
now.
A lot so of trades, Celtics, though. They had to make a lot of movement.
They have had to ship guys away. Yeah. But, and they look, this offseason, even if they win, they have a bunch of picks. They might, I don't know if Giannis is going there, but like, they will have the ability draft pick wise to make an effort to pull off a move like that. I don't think Giannis is going from Milwaukee to Oklahoma City. That kind of defeats the whole
Oklahoma
purpose.
City shouldn't go after him.
Spurs still make the most sense.
So we'll see where that, but I think you're asking like, hey, where does the league stack up? Why has this happened? I do think the player movement and the ease that you can do that in the NBA has contributed to where they're at. Now, I think not that you and I should care about NBA finals ratings. This is about to be a terrible finals from a rating perspective. I'm not saying it won't be entertaining. Haliburton is very entertaining. The backstory with his dad is entertaining.
It might be one of the best series in the last few years.
You got the MVP and SGA likely to be in the finals. So, like, it's not that. It's not even actually like the true basketball. But from a marketing standpoint, Cody, TV ratings, Indiana and Oklahoma. I'm just saying that is not going to be the best ratings. And look, we're in Kansas City, so I can respect the smaller markets. I'm just saying, versus having a team that was from, you know, Texas or Dallas,
and you lose the New York market because the Knicks fans are going to want to watch it. Where would you rank them? Let's just say the three right now, because hockey is still.
Hockey's
pretty balanced, though.
I know we call them the four majors. Hockey might be number one, but just for the sake of this argument, let's limit it to three, because otherwise we're getting too deep into it. Where do you rank the fairness quotient of each league right now? NBA, NFL, Major League Baseball. Problem with Major League Baseball is you truly can just outspend everybody. You're the Dodgers. You are so much better than every three. Interesting. Because the NFL shows no balance in champions. Yeah, there is more balance in champion in Major League Baseball over the last 20 years than the NFL.
Yeah, but your question was who has the most equal playing field. Yeah, like from the rule perspective, the NFL to me still has the most equal playing field. There's no lottery system. There's a cap. You know, the way it works, I would still say, while the direct
hard
result.
Hard cap, not soft cap.
Yeah, I think it's NFL, NBA, then baseball. If we're just talking about playing field being level, not the direct result, because I really think that the difference when the result has been because you have the most important position in all of sports, and if you have that dude, everything changes for you.
That's part of what I'm factoring into my decision.
But it's a level playing field. Every team had a chance. 12 teams had a chance, or 10 teams had a chance to draft Patrick. 32 technically, but had a chance to draft Patrick Mahomes. Some teams traded out of that spot. Thank you, Buffalo.
In terms of
I guess.
You're acting like not everybody had a chance to draft Patrick Mahomes. They had a much better chance to draft Patrick Mahomes than a team in baseball had a chance to go sign Shohei Ohtani or Mike Trout or, you know, whoever, right? Juan Soto.
Sure. No,
there was like three teams.
By that argument, they could have drafted Juan Soto.
Well, no, the Nationals did. The Nationals internationally did, and they still had to move on from him because they couldn't afford him.
That's certainly the biggest problem baseball has in this argument, is that anybody can draft a superstar. So everybody can draft Patrick Mahomes. Everybody can draft that. But in the NFL, it is far, far, far. Yes. That's the biggest difference. Retention, not draft. Shohei's weird, because this is the international part of the sport, which is no, everybody in Major League Baseball did not have a shot at one or at Shohei Ohtani, because when it comes to international players, specifically from Japan, where there's the posting system, you run into a completely different part of the mess. But in the end, what we usually, this is what makes the conversation interesting, is in the end, usually what we talk about when we talk about balance, creative balance, is like, I'm a fan of a team. I want my team to have a chance to win a championship. In college football, if I'm a fan of 99% of a college football team, I got no shot.
Yeah.
If I'm not 1 of 10, I got 0.000000% chance of winning a championship. The thing that helps football in your defense is if you just happen to get lucky, the stars align, and you draft the right guy, you immediately have a chance again.
Look at the Commanders last year. The Commanders, and a lot of it also had to do with crappy ownership, but the Commanders have a new owner, and they found their franchise quarterback in Jaden Daniels. Last year, they were in the NFC title game.
But I would say
for it to work out that way. The stars align in a certain way.
It's weird. It probably depends on our metric. I think the NFL statistically has the least amount of teams going into any year day one of teams who actually have a chance to win the championship. I think the NFL is I could narrow it to five right now that I think, honest to God, realistically have a chance to win a championship. The NBA, I think this year is probably 5-7. I think most years is probably 5-7. In Major League Baseball, I think it might be 8-10 who could win the championship. And I do not think that that's out of the question or has in the NFL, it might be 4-5 that I think actually
that's why
can
I think
do
they're,
it.
I think they're two different questions. If you're asking who has the most balanced rules versus who has shown the most parity, it's definitely, as far as shown it, actually the results have been there. Interesting, though,
and,
no doubt.
And to your point, Cody, about the way that it's interesting, because we've seen this shift where in the 2010s, it was stars go and find other stars and win titles. If you look Boston, very much homegrown. They made some deals in there, very much homegrown, though. Oklahoma City, very much homegrown. The Pacers, they've made some moves in there, but Nembhard, homegrown. Mathurin was the best player on the floor last night for the Pacers in terms of key role. He was drafted by them. Miles Turner's been there, is an OG for the Pacers. Even the Knicks, to an extent, are also very homegrown in terms of what they've built there outside of Brunson and Karl Anthony Towns. So there's been a shift in the NBA of building your rosters up and then making some minor key moves there. Not just going out and saying, you know what? The Pacers didn't say, you know what? We need to go get Dame. we need to go get James Harden. We need to go get Giannis. They brought in Pascal, very underrated player. Tyrese Haliburton, very underrated player. And as a collective unit,
yeah,
the two best teams, you could argue, maybe the Cavs as well, because the Cavs also very homegrown as well. They don't have any superstar, like top five player in the league, other than maybe Shea, obviously. You wouldn't say that Pascal is a top five player in the NBA right now. Or Tyrese is a top five player in the NBA, as great as he is.
All right, let's stick with basketball. We're talking a lot of basketball here in the first hour of the show, just because of not only the NBA, but also what happened just a couple days ago with Kansas State in Manhattan. We know last year, Coleman Hawkins was their big prize transfer portal acquisition. They spent a lot of money. Obviously, it did not go well for a variety of reasons that contributed to that. Well, this weekend, P.J. Haggerty, who was slated to be in the NBA draft, withdrew. He was at Memphis prior, by the way, and he committed to Kansas State. He's the number two rated transfer portal target in college basketball, a huge get for Jerome Tang and company. Initial reports said that he was looking for $4 to $5 million. I think it was Jeff Goodman reported that he's getting $2 million with incentives, could be like $2.5 million. So Kansas State now, this is the reigning AAC player of the year. It's a hell of a basketball player they're getting. Third in the nation in scoring last season, average 21.7. So there's a couple things I think with this. One, the fact that once again Kansas State was able to go heavy on NIL financially. They spent a ton, even way more money on Coleman Hawkins.
They were able to get the money again.
Again after it flopped. Let's just be real. It flopped last year. So this year you wonder, was the money still going to be there if you were Jerome Tang? The answer was yes. Will this pan out? Well, time will tell, right? We all know we have talked about this to great length. Just because someone's rated something in the transfer portal does not guarantee success.
Kansas State and Kansas have both been learning this lesson lately.
Both have shown it. But I will say, the fact that they were able to financially get that done again is impressive. But for Jerome Tang heading into the season, it feels like he has to get to the tourney this year or that job becomes very, very dicey. The buyout won't be quite as much. Yeah, I mean, they're not projected to be... projected. It's very early, but this is not coming from me. This is coming from people that follow college basketball way closer than me.
I'm trying to say this is not a Kansas
fan. They are not projected to be a tournament team this year. That is coming from, go look at ESPN's little projections and other stuff. This ain't bracketology. This is like, look ahead to the upcoming season stuff. They're not projected to be a tournament team. So it's interesting. Haggerty, he also maybe made a bad decision not going to K-State, but I'm talking about in general with his whole offseason, because he wanted $4 to $5 million, overplayed his hand. I think he also is getting half of what he was getting or what he was asking, and ends up going to a team that wasn't a tournament team last year and is not projected to be one this year. We'll see if Jerome Tang can obviously change that, but he will have a ton of pressure under him. 2 years in a row, you were given all this money to go get an NIL target and you came up empty last year.
Yeah. I mean, look, the good news is for him is that he's still able, and this is to his credit, money is going to talk here, but that player could have chosen a lot of schools.
No doubt.
Tons of schools would have given him a lot of money. Maybe not exactly the same amount or whatever. I don't think it's always a highest bid wins when it comes to the transfer portal. I do think that they're looking for fit outside of that as well. And the idea that he was able to get that player, like you said, the third highest scoring player in the nation to come to Kansas State says something, but this is it. If you go 2 years in a row getting what is one of the top five transfer targets in the market and you pay them $5 million between the two of them and you don't even have a tournament appearance to show for it, you're done. And he was already on thin ice anyway. Had they not given him the extension, and kudos to him for playing that card well.
Yeah, his agent and him
worked
that.
He probably would be on an even thinner ice if it is for Jerome Tang. But it's like he can't keep hanging his hat on that one good year they had 3 years ago. He has to at least, and he doesn't need to do well in the tournament, Gold, just be back to being a tournament team.
The issue still, and look, for their sake, obviously, I hope it pans out, but from a financial end, as much as we say on the hot seat and stuff, the terms of his contract, the buyout would be $18.6 million through April 30th of next year. Then it goes down by $3 million each year. So I guess after April 30th, it's down to below $15 million or so. It's $15.6 million. That's still a hefty number to come up with. So you came up with over $10 million in 2 years in NIL budget for, and then you're going to come up with another $15 to write a check for the guy to go away. I'm just saying, if they do not make a tournament next year, I still think it's easier said than done if you were saying they wanted to bail.
Yeah.
Over $15 million buyout is not a small number.
I think it's,
no.
it's a
now, it's
huge
pretty much
number.
What they're giving to, you know, NIL players who aren't coming up. Now, look, maybe this kid will. This is the weirdest part about the NIL is I am surprised, and I guess I don't know if these college players, if this eventually will lead to them transferring less, it might not. I am surprised at the high number of players who seem to be in a system, working well, scoring points, right? Like AJ Store. I'm at Wisconsin. I'm 20 points a game. This works. I have a system, who do not work well in a new system, do not work well with a new coach, and it is just an immediate decline in play. Coleman Hawkins, AJ Store. It seems like the frequency number on it, Gold, is way higher than I was anticipating in the system.
Isn't it? I think there's is there something to the fact that they're allowing Jerome, that the boosters are giving him this amount of money, that they have a specific amount of trust in Jerome Tang to get it done?
Or they want to see.
Or is it more of, we need to try to get back to the tournament regardless of the coach, so we're going to invest this money?
It's a little bit of both. Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both.
You don't want to be a bad team when you're trying to get a new coach either.
He got them to an Elite Eight a couple years ago. It wasn't that long ago. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's funny how, how quickly the perception changes, right? Yeah. Like, I mean, but we all saw, in fairness, Bruce Weber got off to a great start. People didn't really like him ever, but he got off to a great start at K-State, remember? And he kind of won fans over briefly, and then it obviously went down south. I'm just saying, like, if it is, the Elite Eight was amazing for Tang. If they go 2 years of not making the tournament, and we already saw it last year a little bit, then everybody's tune changes very quickly. I would argue it already did.
He's got to be careful. There has to be people at Kansas like the first year of Turner Gill.
Turner Gill, first year didn't do anything.
Who was the coach? There's a Kansas football coach who had a good first year.
Turner Gill lost his first game coached to North Dakota State, and then they beat ranked Georgia Tech the next week, and that was a fluke
as
well.
What a swing right there.
Yeah.
Well, so the first couple of weeks,
lost to North Dakota State. The next week, students rushed the field. I can say this because I was a freshman or sophomore that year, and I also ran onto the field, okay?
Was Charlie Weiss's first year okay?
I don't remember.
In fairness, NDSU was a powerhouse.
Nothing with Charlie Weiss was good there.
Let me see.
Or Turner Gill.
Or Les Miles.
Or Beatty. Or Les Miles.
Beatty. One of the coaches had like a semi-decent first year, and everyone was talking to Beatty.
I don't remember.
I can't remember. It didn't work out. That's the point.
I'm looking up. Charlie Weiss was 1-11 in his first
year. What was David Beatty in his first year?
Never did anything.
That's
they didn't do anything. That's why it was a big deal. They finally got back to a bowl game a couple years ago. They didn't do anything.
You know what it is, though? If you win 4 or 5 games at Kansas in your first year, they start getting talked.
No, it was not Beatty. He was 0-12 in his first year.
No.
I think Les Miles got close to a bowl game.
What's that?
I think Les Miles got close to a bowl game.
They did not go to a bowl game.
I think they got close.
Maybe that's what it was.
I want to say they went 5-7, and it was like, holy smokes, KU won. Okay,
that's actually a good reminder for Kansas.
They went 3-9 his first season.
They had an all-time bad stretch, man.
Yes, they did. Why do you think it took them this long to get 75% of a football stadium done? Still can't get 100% of it done.
Yeah, when are they planning on finishing that thing? Is this like the at-home project where I haven't done like the trim work on some project for 2 years? Yeah. I'm totally going to finish painting that wall.
It sounds like there's been some progress, and I think they're going to be able to announce some plans on the other portion at some point. But yes, this was always the... Anyway, that's a whole other topic.
Shout out to Lance Leipold, though. In 2022 was the first time that they had won 6 or more games and gone to a bowl game since 2008.
Yes, Drew. Exactly.
Shout out to Lance Leipold, who, by the way, has...
He would have had a winning record again this year had... His quarterback stayed healthy.
True. From the moment I stepped foot on campus in 2009 as a freshman at KU till 2022,
they probably want to combine 15 games. I bet
you. How many games did they win when I was there in college? Total.
You were where?
How
you
many
were
total
from?
College football games did they win?
You were there from
2009 to 2013.
Okay, let me see.
Let me give a guess. Hold on.
Okay.
They won 5, I think, my first year. So hold on. I think 5. I will go with 11 or 12. I got 14 or 15.
You said through 2009 through
09 to 13? Actually, I think 9 or 10.
Did you get the Mark Mangino year?
Spring of 13, right?
Mangino was not.
Spring of 13 you graduated, so not fall of 13.
Spring of 13.
So they won 5 in 2009, 3 in 2010, so that's 8.
But it wasn't 2009 because he said no Mark Mangino years. Technically the 2010 football season.
Okay, 2010.
3, 2, 1, and 3.
Yeah.
Your college football team, the entire 4 years you spent at Kansas, won 9 games. Not even quite double digits. Yeah. Almost got there.
Smokes.
Sounds about right. Sounds about right.
I remember being
at the game. It cost Dan Hawkins his job because KU came back and beat Colorado
honestly,
in overtime.
It could be worse. If you started as a freshman the year after Alex graduated, you only got 5 wins for the 4 years you went to Kansas. So Gold actually practically got the glory years.
I'm glad we were able
to
balance this out. You know, K-State fans might have been mad at me for talking about Jerome Tang, and then we very quickly made it all about KU
the
football sucking. Thank you for that.
Three wins.
Thank you.
Honestly, Lance Leipold's had a run. This is the best run Kansas football's had.
He is a program builder, man. That's what he. This is what Lance Leipold does. He has the 24th ranked recruiting class, by the way, for next season. He's already
in the next season. You're looking at 2026 recruiting classes.
Yeah.
True is, I don't.
Shout out to Lance Leipold.
I stay away from message boards and recruiting rankings. You know, I've been consistent on that for many, many years. Going back to my time in Boise, I think it is the whole.
I can
discussion
only imagine
around
the
high school
stuff.
Athletes that have never stepped foot on campus. I understand if I'm a football coach, it matters. As a fan, let me know when the guy's on campus and playing, and then I'll get excited for said player. I have that philosophy across the board.
KU recently got a 4-star running back to commit. Right. Well. Cool. Lance Leipold's killing it.
But he also once got Jamar Chase to commit for a weekend. Or maybe he was just a visit.
That still baffles
me. Jamar Chase verbally committed at one point to his guy, Wes Miles, and then very quickly realized, what the hell am I thinking?
He must have gotten in the gym and was like, nah, I don't think so.
Yeah. Anyway. All right. Let's get to the 11 o'clock hour. Back into the Royals and look at where they were at a year ago at this time. Plus, Terry Bradshaw, not a fan of Cody and maybe not a fan of Aaron Rodgers. That's next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable 6-blade shaves, swift rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports. Other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime.
Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.